Welcome to Grace Believers Bible Study. For you guys that weren't here the first service, I think you missed one good service. So we're in the first service, we're covering, we're leading up to Acts 11, verse 20, to show you some truths there that some of the grace preachers are not preaching. They're preaching it as the King James Bible being wrong. And so, you know, I think it would have been nice if you could have got it. But let's proceed with this one right here. And in this one, what we're doing, we're talking about mid-Acts dispensationalism, okay? And some of them are going to overlay, and that's okay. But to continue on with what we were doing in this mid-Acts dispensationalism, I'm going to back up just a couple of verses to where we were at last week to lead into it. And righteousness, if you remember, I was talking about righteousness was available to Moses and the children of Israel contingent upon something, a performance of the commandments of God. Go to Deuteronomy, and let's read it, and we're going to get right back into it. Deuteronomy chapter 6. A performance of something. Deuteronomy 6:24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day, and it shall be our righteousness. There's a condition here. If statement. If we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. That's what the righteousness was. It was a performance of certain things. And this was observing of the commandments. So Paul reaffirms this. You know, of righteous standing was the product of something prescribed to do. It was a performance. Go to Romans chapter 10. Verse 5. Romans chapter 10, verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, the performance, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. Yet according to the revelation of the mystery, back up in the previous verse, in verse 4, look at that, that was given to Paul by the risen Savior. He says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So, there's something different there. Definitely something different. So, eternal life, and that's what we all want in here, or should want, was the subject of a question asked of the Lord himself over in Matthew 19. How about going there? Matthew 19. We're going to get started here. I don't want to beat around the bush too much. I just want to bring you back to where we were at. Matthew 19, 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, as to Jesus, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, as we said last week, it's important to notice what he did not say. He didn't say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Like Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer. He didn't say that. You know, he didn't say, by grace you're saved through faith. No. He didn't say salvation is a gift. Not of works, did he? Lest any man should boast. No, he didn't do that. But what Christ did say was perfectly consistent with what was required under the performance of the law program. You had to do something. So now, today, let's go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. And he said unto them, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But here's something. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. That was a performance. He told them in Matthew 19 to keep the commandments. That's not what we hear. Not by righteous, not by works of righteousness. That's what we hear. Not by works of righteousness. So prior to the Lord's crucifixion, the apostles never understood that Jesus had to die. Much less that he would die for who? Uncircumcised Gentiles. That was hid in God. The gospel of the grace of God was hid in God. So the gospel of Christ, was kept secret. But the revelation of the mystery there that was kept secret, that he was going to die for the Jew and the Gentile, which was the Greeks, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, the people in the covenants of promise. That's what we're talking about now. The un circumcised Gentiles. That's us. That was not there. They never ever knew that. They never understood it. But why? They were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That has nothing to do with Christ's death on Calvary. Do you know that? It doesn't. But that's what they were preaching. How about going to Matthew 4, verse 23? We're going to see some things in here. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now that's a clue here when it's talking about healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That is a very big clue, which we're going to see here just shortly. Go over to verse chapter 9, verse 35. Talking about Jesus again. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. It's about the same as the other scripture. And preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every, not some, every sickness and every disease among the people. That's pretty heavy when you say every. So Jesus and his apostles meant what they were saying when they said the kingdom was literally at hand and the end of the prophetic program was coming to a halt. If the Jews hadn't rejected the stone, the Jesus Christ, it would have been ushered right on in. But they did. But now I want to show you something. See, this kingdom was literally at hand. It's going to be perfectness in the kingdom. Why? As far as sickness goes. Physical healing is always associated with the nation Israel. Physical healing. Now, so if that's the case, how about going to 1 Peter chapter 2? Let's see what Peter was soon to be. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, Peter's writing, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. That's what they were going to be as quick as the kingdom was ushered in. But it was literally at hand. There's something about being a priest in the holy nation of Israel. What is that? It requires that a person be physically whole. Go to Leviticus chapter 21. That's why you continue to see Jesus Christ healing all manner of sickness and disease. It's going to be starting verse 17. Leviticus 21, 17. In verse 16, he said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, Moses, saying, Whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish." Remember the lamb that they locked up as the Passover in Exodus chapter 12 was without blemish. "Let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach." And he gives some examples. A blind man or a lame man that we talked about over in Acts chapter 3 today. Or he that hath a flat nose or anything superfluous. And I've heard that "have a flat nose" being used in a racist term. So you can figure that out. And I don't believe that. Or a man that is broken-footed or broken-handed or crook-back or a dwarf. A dwarf? I've seen dwarf people, little people. They've got blemish. Or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in until the veil, nor come nigh until the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries, for I am the Lord. I do sanctify him. Now, they didn't want you to have any blemishes. Jesus Christ was out healing all manners, every sickness and every disease, because the nation, because the millennial reign was supposed to be ushered right in. It was at hand, but it didn't take place because the people rejected their Savior. Not all people, but some people. How about going to Matthew chapter 3? Let's just see what happened there with John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3. He began preaching that the kingdom was heaven is at hand. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go up to chapter 4, verse 17. Jesus said something on the same sort. Let's see what he did say. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, what? Same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then, six verses later, verse 23, same chapter 4. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. See, when he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, that has not the cross in mind. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people, which we just got through reading. The kingdom was at hand. He was granting physical healings in preparation for that kingdom. There is no doubt about it. Now, that's what constitutes preaching the gospel of the kingdom is. Jesus did speak of his death, his burial, and resurrection in the four gospels. But the apostles never understood. And it was kept hidden from them. They just never understood it. How about going down to Luke chapter 9? Let's see what he has to say here. Verse 44. He was telling his apostles and disciples some things. In verse 44, Christ said, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. They were afraid to ask Jesus of what he was talking about. You know, they didn't understand the crucifixion, the burial, and resurrection, to understand that these things would become the elements of the gospel of the grace of God after it was revealed to the Apostle Paul by the risen Savior. That's not what Jesus Christ was preaching these guys at the time. They wouldn't have understood it. How about going to Mark chapter 9? Mark chapter 9. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee. And he would not that any man should know it, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man, he's telling them again, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. Whoa. Now, there's going to be a lot of these passages in the Gospels that the fact that the 12 apostles never realized Jesus Christ would die on the cross only to be resurrected from the dead. It was, I know they weren't, but it was as if they were a Sadducee. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead there. At least in his case, they didn't. But they went forth doing something, not knowing about his death or his resurrection. They went about doing something. That's what I want you to see, that the cross was not involved. It is called the gospel of the kingdom that they went and continually preaching. There was an illuminating thing that involved Peter here, and I'm going to show you. He was already preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's already in the possession of the keys of the kingdom. finding and losing. That's what happened to him. Let's take a look. Oh, he tried to what? Prevent the crucifixion. Do you think at the time before the Apostle Paul came out, Peter, probably the greatest apostle ever walked prior to Peter, it was a different dispensation as far as salvation to them and us, but the fact of it is, he had the keys already given to him, and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. How about going to Matthew 16, and let's see what he did. This is mid-Acts dispensationalism. In other words, just basic facts. In Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem. This wasn't he just kept telling them. And suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be upon thee. And before the actual event of the crucifixion took place, when those people over there, those Jews, were hollering, crucify him, let his blood be on us. Before that actually took place, Peter tried to do something. Go over to Luke chapter 18. And he did something. Didn't stop the crucifixion, thank God. Luke chapter 18. Verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12. And said unto them, Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, that's the Roman authority, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and we know that to be a fact from other scriptures, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall arise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. But see, Peter still didn't realize that Christ was going to be to die specifically on the cross and be resurrected. He tried to cut off the ear of somebody. Go to John chapter 18. See, he had already rebuked the Lord one time. Not so, Lord. John chapter 18, verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servants and cut off his right ear. Now, I don't know what the significance of being right. It's the right ear, but I know the lame man, it was his right foot he stood up on. So there's got to be something about this right that I don't know. But it's the right ear, but because Jesus Christ right now sits on the right-hand side of the Father. There's something about that word on the right side that is significant, and I just absolutely don't know. But the servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? That's the death. Peter didn't understand that, of course. But see, even after they crucified Jesus Christ, there was no rejoicing. There was no understanding of what just took place. They didn't have a clue it was going to come to pass. But this goes to show you something. They didn't have a clue about the crucifixion, the burial, and resurrection specifically for salvation. Not a clue. Never did. Now, how about going to John chapter 20? They ought to have been jumping up in verse 9. They ought to have been jumping up praising God for Christ dying, if they even had a clue what he was dying about. But no, you've killed the Messiah. That's in Acts 2:38. You've killed the Messiah, the Prince of Life. Repent and be baptized for remission of sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Now, in John chapter 20, verse 9, For as yet, this is after the crucifixion, For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise from the dead. But then Paul comes on the scene, And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, go there with me. It was a mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And it was that if the crucifixion could have been stopped, if it had been known by anyone, Satan would have not had that Christ crucified. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, that's why Peter and the apostles did not have a clue. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, Paul writes, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, or had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, this makes it absolutely clear that in the four gospels that neither Christ nor his apostles could have been preaching the gospel of the grace of God. No way could they be preaching the gospel of the grace of God. They were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Gospel of the kingdom. Because they didn't know about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for your salvation, for the forgiveness of sins. Did not know it whatsoever. Because in 1 Corinthians 15, and you don't have to go there, verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Verse 2, by which also you are saved. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, Paul says, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he rose again, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It was in the Scriptures, but it was kept secret. But Peter and them, they didn't acknowledge that. Did not acknowledge. Now, go to Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Romans 4:25. But for us also, Paul writes, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus for our justification. That was mystery information that was given to the Apostle Paul by the risen Savior Jesus Christ in the dispensation of the grace of God. That's what it is. Mystery information. But do you know what? After this dispensation ends, then the next dispensation is going to come in. It's going to be the tribulation. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. Now's the day of your opportunity if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ. Because if the rapture was to take place tonight, this moment, tomorrow, and you're not saved, then you will, and if you've heard the gospel, and believe me, you heard it in here. You may have heard it somewhere else, but you heard it here. Then you will believe a lie. You will be some strong delusion. You're not going to have another opportunity. I don't care what Tim LaHaye and Tommy Ice preaches you and that series that they've got out. You will not have another opportunity to trust Jesus Christ. It's just like I was talking to Bob this morning. And I was telling him about this guy up in Ogden, my class. He's not a regular. He just came in. And he's a Church of Christ individual. And he came in my church, in my class up there. And instantly, it was water baptism, man. I mean, it was really hard. Repent and be baptized for remission of sins. And if you don't, you're going straight to hell. So I used the old term of, and everybody's heard it, but I used it. I said, if you and I, and you're a pastor, I'm unsaved, and you and I are going through the desert, and we have a one-car accident, it flips over, I got 1 minute to live, and I asked you, I realize that I'm going to hell now. This is my last time. I got to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I said, what must I do to be saved? And he tells me, you got to repent. I said, I do. I changed my mind about who he was. I know that's the Savior. What else have I got to do? He said, you got to be baptized. And I said, well, ain't no water for miles and miles. I got 30 seconds to go. He said, well, you're going to hell. Yes, Ralph. Right.
He has to be baptized.
By one Spirit. We're talking water baptism. And that's good. I always like you pointing that out. But that's true. Bob pointed that out this morning.
Well, Paul pointed that out.
That's good. You have to be baptized by one Spirit. But I even use that scripture in Romans chapter 6 on this guy. He said, that's water. I took him to Ephesians 4:4. That didn't do any good. It's water, or you're doomed and damned and going to hell. But I'm telling you this morning, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you won't have another opportunity. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You just won't have it. Now, go to Micah, would you? Because God's going to complete the prophetic program, the kingdom program, as prophesied. Micah chapter 4. And it's okay to look it up in the index, guys. Believe me. It's not one you just normally go to. God is going to complete Israel's kingdom program without a doubt, just exactly as it was prophesied in Micah 4:1-3. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow in unto it, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his way, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Jesus said something in Matthew 24. How about going over there? Matthew 24:14. I am just so amazed of what everybody teaches. I mean, if you've got 1,000 different churches out there, you've probably got 1,000 different ways. The Lord is not comfortable, not proud. He's not the leader of all those different sects at all. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. But you know what? The end hasn't come yet. The end hasn't come. In Colossians chapter 1. How about going over there? Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. And if you continue in the faith, Paul writes, grounded and settled, and be not removed away from the hope of the gospel. This is the gospel of the grace of God, which we're talking about, which you have heard and which was preached. I want you to see to who? To every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Since the end didn't come when every creature heard it, clearly the gospel Paul preached is not the same gospel that Peter preached. Not the same gospel that Jesus Christ preached when he was walking around over here. It was not the gospel of the kingdom. In this dispensation, we know this is the dispensation of the grace of God. It's an administration of something, of dispensing. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's forgiveness of sins. It's the day of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's all you've got to do. Believe what? In the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Or if it wasn't the blood of Jesus Christ, then Romans 3:25 would be true, because he is. Faith in Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is the propitiation. He is the appeasement. He is the satisfaction of the wrath of God. It's faith in Jesus Christ that saves. Now, there's no getting around it. But see, the kingdom that Peter and his apostles were preaching is no longer at hand. It's been put on pause. Some people say abeyance. It's been stopped because they rejected their king. And we know in Hosea 1, verse 9, that Israel has become low am I. They're fallen. They're fallen to provoke them to jealousy. And all men can be saved the same way today. There's no doubt about it. We don't have to bless a Jew to be saved. It's not through the glorification of Israel that we're saved. It's through the fall of Israel that we're saved. So never forget that. Now, but this kingdom that we were talking about earlier, that Peter was preaching, the gospel of the kingdom, is no longer being offered. Doesn't even apply to this dispensation. In the first service we were talking about, people, Bob was telling me about all these different TV programs he watches, and they pretty well preach Acts 2:38 for your salvation. It's a hard thing for a grace preacher to continue preaching because the whole world is against him. You know, it's just the way it works. But you will suffer afflictions, people, divisions, you name it, because people don't want to trust Jesus Christ. They don't really have a need, they don't think. They do have a need. They don't know that they've got a soul that's a never-dying soul. That they're going to wind up in condemnation for eternity. Eternity, I don't know how long it is, but that's a long time. I know I have eternal life, and I pray everybody in here has eternal life. If you don't, then let's get together. In other words, I want to sit down with you on a one-on-one if you don't have it. I don't care if you think you trusted Christ 35 years ago. Because there's been people in Brother Moore's ministry that have actually bought that. 30 years worth. Oh, I've been saved. They were lost. And finally, they got saved. But see, people have pride. They don't want to say, well, I trusted Christ, and I've told that congregation over there on Roslyn Way, I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior 25 years ago, and now I got to come over here and say, I wasn't, I just thought I was. I was a lost believer, but now I really have trusted Christ. Yes, that's what you got to do. Swallow your pride. God hates pride. God does hate things. So, if you think you're saved, you might not be. Check yourself to see if you're in the faith. See if you're trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I know we can all do a better job. I could do a much better job as an example out here. We all need to do a better job. We put too much emphasis on our personal life and doing this and doing that, making a living, those kind of things. We got to have a job. We got to make a living to provide for families and so forth. But sometimes people get carried away and they want more and more and more. Harry and I was discussing this morning. But there is no salvation today apart from the gospel of the grace of God. And the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God are different, and things that are different are not the same. I don't care who's preaching it, if it's your brother, your mother, and we've got an individual that Clinton and I know rather well. His son is a preacher. But that man will not tell his son because his wife won't let him. Is that pretty well close? The fact of it is, it's bad. You've got to preach and teach with boldness. And yeah, you're going to get some flat thrown back at you. Or you're not doing this, or you're not doing that. I know what I'm doing. I'm preaching the Word of God. I'm preaching the gospel of the grace of God. I'm preaching salvation, which is the number one thing out of this Bible for this dispensation, bar none. And I'm going to continue to do that. If we have one or if we have 100 in here, I'm going to continue to do that. I had an individual one time tell me, he's up in Andalusia, and I mentioned this to you before. This guy, I sat down with him. He was sitting there drinking a beer. My son introduced me to him. It was over at his house. And we were all out there shooting pool. And my son said, you know, whatever the guy's name was, he said he's a pastor. Was. I said, you got to be kidding me. Guy's real nice. Sitting there, sitting one down, and I said, now let me ask you, you're not a pastor anymore? Nope. I don't preach anymore. And I said, well, why not? He said, nobody believes what I'm telling you. He was a grace preacher. He said, I keep telling people the truth. They won't believe it. It's just like Mike and I was talking. You're liable to preach 50 years and just have a handful that actually gets it, that actually trusts the gospel, that believes you're not a heretic. But then again, that one or that two, I was asked a question yesterday, so what? You know, have you had anybody saved in your op class? Yes. He said, how many? I said, one. One in 3.5 years, or four, whatever I've been teaching up there. That one is worthy. God is just jumping up and down because that one person has gotten saved. If I didn't have my class up there, that person might not have gotten saved. I don't know that. But the fact that they did. So, this preacher, he told me, he said, if you ever go into preaching, this was 5 or 6 years ago, he said, you won't make it. I said, why is that? He said, you can't stand the heat. Rejection. Humans have got emotions. I'm tired of the rejection. I just had to quit. I got tired of it. And you can ask anybody that's ever started a class, you know, they kick you. You expect people to flow in, just like the church. They don't. Expect them to come to your class. They don't. You feel rejected. You feel neglected. I got something to tell them. I don't know a lot, but I've got something to tell them about the gospel of the grace of God, and I can't get anybody in here to listen to it. And Satan is causing that, of course. But I told him, I said, if I ever do preach, I'm there for the duration. He couldn't stand it. And so he's not. And that guy, me and him talked scripture. We agreed on everything. Except one little minute detail. It didn't have nothing to do with scripture. Harry, I know what I'm talking about. He didn't believe, he didn't see anything wrong with being a Mason. And I do. But other than that, all the scriptures, we were identical. This man knew what he was doing. But he would refuse because he couldn't stand it any longer. So don't let that happen to you. As Ralph brought up, we are in a race. He said, he see, he was talking about it this morning. We're in a race. We've got to finish this course. Run the race. Run it with integrity. Run it with knowledge. And where do you get your knowledge is out of the King James Bible. If you don't know something, talk to somebody else. Call them up on the phone. Yes, Bob?
In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, it says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Like he's talking about people on rejection and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work. Most people don't like that four-letter word.
Work.
The work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. It's just something you got to deal with.
You
all
know,
of us have to deal with.
That's true. If you are called, whether it be an apostle, a preacher, teacher, apostle. I mean, an ambassador is what I meant to say. An ambassador. Everybody's an ambassador. But see, some of us don't like to act as an ambassador. You know, whenever the United States sends somebody to Russia or Japan or whatever as an ambassador, they don't do the job. They're recalled and kicked out of the office. We're sealed until the day of redemption. We can't lose it. But I guarantee you, when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ and where we're judged up there for what we've done in this body, to further the gospel, that's going to come up. It's going to come up. Yes, and the doctrine that you were talking about is Romans through Philemon, and you've got to learn how to rightly divide it. It's not really rightly dividing the Bible. It's rightly dividing the word of truth, right, which is the gospel of your salvation. That's just the way it is. Okay? But you're absolutely right. You get your doctrine out of there, and you got to fight that race, run that race until the course is over, until we're raptured out of here, or until your body leaves this earth, goes back to the dust, the spirit goes back to heaven where it came from, and the soul is for everlasting, either in heaven or it's going to be in condemnation into the lake of fire. There is no getting around that. That's what we got today. I enjoy it.